my refuge in the storm. Through these trials, you've always been faithful. You bring healing to my soul. I am not alone. No, I am not alone. You will go before me, and you will never leave me. And I am not alone. No, I am not alone. You will go before me, and you will never leave me. And I am not alone. No, I am not alone. You will go before me, and you will never leave me. And I am not alone. No, I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me.
We have spent 2018 with Jesus, taking all that we think we know about God, all that we think we know about doing church, and he turns it completely upside down. Everything that we think we know about being a quote-unquote good Christian, I hate that phrase, because we are called to be godly, not good, so be very careful with that concept. Everything that we think we know about being a Christian, he turns it upside down and says, to be happy. If we, as believers, are to be happy in our life, we have to do what people don't expect Christians to do. Annoying things like love your enemy, right? Why did he have to say that? You know? And he just turns it upside down. And a lot of times with churches, we have to do the same thing. Because churches love tradition, churches love the way that it's always been, and churches love to do things the old way. So I've got a list, it's only four, of things we can do, changes that will turn Jennings Road upside down and do church like no one else does it. Here's the first one. We place a lie detector on stage for two reasons. One, you'll know whether I'm telling the truth when I tell you a story about me. Secondly, even better, for anybody who wants to come forward for the invitation, and as they share what they're sharing, we'll know whether they're lying or not. Huh? Lie detector test. Now, I know some of you yahoos, because I've seen your Facebook pages, you'll love this one, and Vicky's all in. We will place armed guards around the hospitality center, right, to make sure that some of you dopes don't steal all of the good stuff before I come over, right? Armed guards. Love it? Yeah, I know Stuart's all in. I don't have to worry about that. On our visitor cards, when somebody fills out for the first time that they come here, we leave a blank space. We add a space for wait. Wouldn't that be something? People would talk about that, Danae. Yes, they would. They'd be like, this is a weird church. Huh? Yeah, that's not happening. Here you go. You ready for this one? Give the teenagers a gong so that any time during the service they don't like something, they just gong. Think Tyler? Tyler's in. Tyler wants one. That would shake things up, right? Jesus shook things up by saying, all this hard stuff of the Old Testament, I'm going to make it easy for you to follow. He literally shook the foundation of the church, of the Jewish people, of these people that are God's people by saying, all the old traditions, all the old ways, I'm going to make it simple for you to understand. So all that stuff, you love God and you love your neighbor as yourself. That sounds amazing, right? Who has to follow all these dietary laws and all this other stuff? And yet we complicate it all the time. Simply love God, love your neighbor as yourself. That literally will shake the foundation of any church. And it has ours. When he simplified that, when he literally said, the Old Testament is old, the new has come, it ticked off a group of people. Who was it? The church leaders. Because that's who's going to get upset first, the people that think they own the church. And so they have him killed. And for the longest time, I have wanted to just tear apart everything about Easter and the crucifixion. But it would take months to get there, and for some reason, Easter decided to be on April Fool's Day. I love that. I'm telling you right now, we are going to have so much fun with that, you're not going to believe it. But they have him killed. And today, we learn that as we've kind of jumped into the story as it progresses, this is where Jesus says that famous, "It is finished," line, right? The very last words that he says. And it got me to thinking, what's finished? We're so used to being told what was his life. Duh. I think it's more than that. As we look at the story within the context of what happens at the moment that he says it, and then what happens after that, I think it is way much more. He is sending a message that something is over. Something is finished. Now, last week, I asked you to be salt and light. And my Sunday school class was late, as we usually are, because we were telling stories about how we were light to people and how people were light to us. I want to do that every week. It was amazing to hear the stories about how God is working in us, through us, and around us. But what does "it is finished" have to do with being salt and light? And will it make any difference at all if we leave here this morning going, "It's finished," besides the sermon? Finally, open up your Bibles. Shaky, just like the sermon title. All right, Matthew chapter 27. If you have your Bible, take time to look that up. It is toward the back part of your Bible. If not, just tap that app and we'll take a look at it. The one thing, one of the first things that I think that Jesus, when he said "it is finished," is death. Verse 50. Death is kind of finished. Verse 50. Thank goodness for the other Gospels, because Matthew doesn't care what he said here, but we know what he said. "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit." I love the fact that Matthew records that he screams it out in a loud voice so that everyone can hear it, but does not record what he said. We know what it is. It is finished. What's that mean? Just that he's dead? Of course. But what if it meant at that moment the Old Testament is finished? What if it means that our old ways of thinking about God is finished? What if it meant instead of God being up there, it means that God is right here? And what if it meant that the old rules are over and now it's about relationships? Which one of those are you stuck in? Let me read it again. And I want you to examine yourself, allow the Holy Spirit to kind of talk to you about which one you're stuck in. Are you stuck in the Old Testament? Are you stuck there? Because you'll grab a verse out of Leviticus. Anybody ever read Leviticus before? What is wrong with you? Leviticus is crazy, man. I read a story about a church that started from nothing, and the pastor decided he was going to preach every word of Leviticus at a startup church. What's wrong with him? We love to pull out verses from Leviticus that absolutely fit our needs and what our biases are and what our prejudices are. And we love to throw them on Facebook. At my church in Kentucky, it was starting to fill out. We had gone from 30 to about 140. We were in the old building. It was a weird setup, man, because we would have the congregation like you guys are straight out in front of me, but the floor was so old in the building that it dipped in the middle. You could sit on the edges and look down into the church basement. Oh my gosh. So they added on over to my left, supposedly room for the choir to sit, but we didn't have a choir, so I told people to sit over there. So I literally could preach here while people are staring at me over here. It was the weirdest setup. But we were starting to pack the place out, and we had gone from grandparents and grandkids to the parents coming. And one Sunday morning, now remember, I'm in rural Kentucky, and one Sunday morning, one of the moms came in with her boyfriend. Mom's white, boyfriend's black. Now, in Quincy, Kentucky, there is one place you go to get the news. It ain't a newspaper. It's the post office. That's where you're going to get the news. So I would walk down every day in this little village to get the mail because the dude behind the counter knew everything about everybody. And I happened to be in there when one of our newer, older guys came in and said, "Hey, I need to talk to you about Sunday morning." I knew immediately what he wanted to talk about. And I said, "Oh, you want to talk about so-and-so's boyfriend, don't you?" Now remember, we're not the only ones in here because, again, where do you go? Van Wert, where do you go? McDonald's every morning, right? You're going to find out stuff. And he says, "I don't think he should be allowed back." And I said, "Really? Why?" And he quotes to me the Old Testament, where God tells the people of Israel as they head into the Promised Land not to intermarry with other races. And I said, "Huh, cool." And I said, "No problem. Except you need to bring a sheep to church Sunday. Because I'm going to demand out of you, if you follow one of the Old Testament laws, you're going to follow them all. So when it comes time for the offering, I'm going to call you up front with that sheep, and you are going to sacrifice that sheep. I'll hand you the knife." "I'm not doing that." "Then quit being a racist." Isn't it weird that they ran me out? So, if you are making the mistake of being stuck in the Old Testament that supports your biases, which God never, by the way, never intended for us as a church to marginalize a group of people or women, to marginalize them in such a way that we who are in power get to hold our thumbs down on a certain group of people because it fits our biases, shame on you. And shame on me for allowing you to do that. There is a much better way of doing life. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself, no matter what color they are. Now, listen, this guy then says to me, because little Southern Danielle with her little glasses, and she talked like this, because that's where we were. And she had the cutest little thing. It was awesome. He goes, what are you going to do when Danielle brings home a black man? And I said, I'm going to look at him and I'm going to go, there's only one color I care about. Red. The blood of Jesus. And if he's covered by the blood of Jesus because he is a Christian, I will shake that man's hand. Now, I'll punch him probably because that's my daughter. But that's the only color that I care about. I am hopeful that that guy grabbed a hold of that and said, it's not about the Old Testament. It's about the new. And when Jesus said, it is finished, he went to the Old Testament and went, done. It's over. It's the new covenant. It's the new way of doing things. Jesus died so that the old will be gone and we will have new life. Do not be stuck in your old ways of thinking, your old ways of how you think that church should be. Man, just give death to those old ways. Now, verse 51, Jesus decided when he said, it is finished, he destroyed something. Now, these verses blow my mind. I love it. Welcome to the Bible according to the Walking Dead. Verse 51, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split. And now this is creepy. The tombs broke open. And Zombie Sunday, everybody, the zombies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Verse 53, they came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Nope. Nope and nope. I'm telling you right now, if dead grandma shows up going, hey, let me tell you about Jesus, I'm going, woo, time to change my medication, because there is no way that's going to be exciting to me. Can I tell you what I understand about those verses? Nothing. That is weird. I don't understand it at all. But when God creates this shaking things up, right? And he split when the temple, inside the temple, there was this gigantic curtain that separated the place where people could be and where God would come. And they had to have that curtain there because you could not be in the presence of God unless he asked you to, or you just simply wanted to die. Because in our sinfulness, we can't behold the full glory of God. And so any Levitical priest that had to go past the curtain or pull the curtain aside to seek forgiveness of the sins for the people, they would tie a rope around his waist so that if he died, they could just yank him out. Because you can't go in and see the presence of God. Whoa, God was separated from his people. And when Jesus said, it is finished, Old Testament God said, that's it. I'm destroying the way you relate to me. Rip! And he rips that curtain from top, Matthew says, to the bottom. God now is here. God now is where two or three people are gathered together in his name. You don't have to go to a temple. You don't have to have a dopey priest who will intercede on your behalf. Now you can have Jesus. Now you can literally have God's presence with you. And God said, it is finished. The old way of doing it is gone. Now it's personal. Now it's a relationship. And he destroyed the old way of relating to God. Now, sometimes we stick onto old ways and old habits, especially as churches. We are famous for doing that. And we have to be careful because a lot of times it's just simply what we're comfortable with. And God said, you don't have to do any of that stuff to relate to me. Now, the one thing I will say about the creepy part about the zombies walking around talking about Jesus, I made a list when I wrote my sermon of people that are no longer with us that you may not even know. That not only the way they lived, but the way they died screams out Jesus. Tells a testimony about who he is. You don't remember, I doubt very many of you remember Dick and Patty Anderson. Anybody remember? Dick was 77 years old, and I put him on the church board at the time. Now, you got to remember something. He grew up in this church when it was downtown. And 40 years after he quit coming, he came back to church. Dick was on fire, man. He was so excited, 77 years old, so excited and wanted to grow and wanted to learn and would keep saying, I love all the new faces and all the new people. Just fantastic. And I'm down doing church camp and I get a call from him. He had stopped smoking decades ago and he had lung cancer and was gone in 4 days. And when I stood beside his bed and we were talking about some things, he told me some things that I will always hold dear because he literally chased his entire family out. That's a good move. And made me stay. And I thought, oh, what's this going to be? And it was just beautiful when the nurse or the doctor, whoever it was, declared that he was gone, because we were there for like 2 days beside his bed. It was just something. The minute she said 9:16 in the morning, over the loudspeakers was a lullaby playing. The minute he died, someone had been born. And I said at his funeral, as I closed up, I told that story, and I said, the minute that he died, he opened his eyes, and Jesus said, are you born again? Isn't that fantastic? That was Dick Anderson. I want to live the way that he died. I am rereading Leia Wieman's book. She started a blog when she was getting sick. And I'm rereading that, and it cracks me up because the very first journal entry in there is about her MySpace page. What? It's like a dial-up phone. They used to exist, right? And I'm rereading it, and as I'm reading it, I'm going, here's this 26-year-old girl who's just going for back pain, and I already know the story. First of all, I've read the book, but I kind of lived these last days with her. It wasn't just back pain, it was cancer. And her mom calls me and says, can you come down and talk? This was just a few days before she passed, and she told me a story that broke my heart. And I will never tell that story because she asked me not to. But I looked at her and I said, it's okay, kiddo. God's got you. That's amazing. That legacy that she, well, I want to live the way that she died. Anybody remember the name Joan Starrett? Oh my goodness. I want to live the way that lady died. Especially when she was in hospice and I leaned in close and she wasn't really able to talk and I said, Joan, you can go now. Jay Bruce has been traded from the Reds to the Indians. And she just started chuckling, but she couldn't breathe. And I said, and by the way, it is okay. I got to tell you, there are very few days that I don't wake up and think about that lady. Very few days. I want to live the way that Joan died. When I said her name, your heads were bobbing. What an impact. Now, if that's what it meant, that the holy ones that had gone before had died and came out and told us stories about God and Jesus, then I'm all for that. That's the way we should live, but sometimes we've got to destroy the way that we think or act or whatever it is. So, you got to be determined. Verse 54, There's something you have to determine in your life. Verse 54, when the centurion, love that guy, and those who were with him, and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified. Roman soldiers who feared nothing were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God! Exclamation point. All right? They determined that. But listen to verse 55. This is what I love about Jesus. Man, did he break all the societal laws. Women are nothing. Not to Jesus. Many women were there watching from a distance. They had groupies. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to take care of his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons, the sons of thunder. That poor woman. Look at how many people determined Jesus was indeed the Messiah. But those who did not know that he was the Messiah, it took everything being shaken up. It took some things being destroyed. It took some of them who were afraid of nothing to be terrified. So if you don't know that Jesus is your Messiah, the one who can save you from your sin, and your life is a mess, that's great. Because he is trying to shake you up so much that you'll realize, I need to see Jesus for who he truly is. And those of us who are believers, those of us who have been at it for a while, our lives are being shaken up. That's great. It's awful, but it's great. Because even if we're standing at a distance, we can recognize that God is at work. That when he says, it is finished, it means that the old is gone and the new has come. So let's stand for our invitation this morning. And as God speaks to your heart, if you are a first-time believer and you realize your life has been so shaken that you need him, no lie detector up here. We're just going to love on you. Don't be afraid to come up, fall down, stand, cry, whatever you need to do. If you're a long-time believer like me, it's okay, too, to come up and do the same thing, to just say, Jesus, I need you to be my Messiah. Thank you. God, the broken part we get, sweetly broken, is weird. It's the wholly surrendered part that is hard. Why we hold on to our pride and our wrong ways of thinking and our shame. I am so glad that when your son was on the cross, he destroyed all that. But God, it's hard not to live that way. I pray for those who came forward. I pray for those who are just holding on to their seat because they want to come, but you know where to find them. Give us life where there's only death, God. Thank you for those who have gone before that still shout from the grave that you are our Messiah. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.